Tell you what, I'm glad I'm saved. I thank the Lord for that. Appreciate the singing tonight. Singing about our Savior, singing about being saved. And if you're not saved in here tonight, that would be the greatest thing in the world, is to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalms 138 and try to preach tonight, or give you a lesson or something. I don't know. Amen. We'll try to preach, though. Pray for Christy. Appreciate your prayers already. She's very sick. She don't hardly ever get sick. And when she gets sick, it makes everybody's lives miserable. Amen. Y'all pray for me. I might actually have to get up and get the kids ready for school in the morning. That would be a disaster. So I really want you to pray that she's better by in the morning. Amen. Me and preacher are kind of the same as far as that goes. Get you a bowl of cereal and get on out the door. Amen. So it may be rough around the house in the morning. I was sitting here thinking tonight, and Roman came with me. Everybody else is at home sick and everything else. And I remember when I was preaching around for back in 99 and 2000, I was preaching around the country, and Roman went, or Ryan, I got all them R's. Ronnie used to go with me everywhere. He is about 8 years old, like Roman. And Ronnie used to travel the country with me, preaching everywhere, and it'd just be me and him. And it's nice to have him on the front row tonight. Just got saved about a month ago now. Amen. And I tell you, I can see a difference in that boy's life already, you know, and what God can do in kids. So me and him's working through some things right now, so you just pray for us, right, Roman? Amen. All right, let's look at Psalms 138. The Bible says this: I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thy own hands. Father, we thank you for this night. And Lord, I thank you for all that you do for us. I praise your name tonight, Lord, for what you have done for us. Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for Calvary. Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us. You'd speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd help me just to preach exactly what you put on my heart tonight, Lord. Nothing more, nothing less. Lord, I pray most of all, somebody in here tonight needs you as their personal Lord and Savior. They make that decision. Lord, I pray that you'd help the rest of us, Lord, to have a yearning desire, a burning desire in our hearts to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for all the things that you do for us. I do pray for our sick, Lord, that are couldn't make it tonight. And Lord, as we look around the auditorium tonight, Lord, we see those that are missing, and we pray for them, Lord, and we just pray that you just direct this service, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalms, and we know about a lot of the Psalms are written as a hymnal or a song to the Lord and a praise to the Lord. And this is a Psalm of David that he wrote, and most of the Psalms are a Psalm of David. And David had learned in his lifetime to learn how to worship and praise the Lord. Would you agree with me on that tonight? Amen. I mean, we look at the book of Psalms and we read it from beginning to the end, all those many chapters there is. And over again, we'll see something like the first verse that says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. And David had definitely learned those things in his life. You know, after salvation, we see a lot of people get saved, and we see people come down to the altar and give their heart and life to Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, I'm thankful for that, and it's exciting to see somebody get saved. But then the sad part comes is when we don't see them again.
That's when they come down and give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and try to make things happen and all that, and then they disappear and we never see them again. But let me tell you something, folks. There's some things that we need to learn in our lives after being saved that you're not going to learn out on the street. Amen? But I'm thankful for what Brother Doug said tonight. We need the Bible. Amen? I mean, after we get saved, this book teaches us. This book guides us. The Holy Spirit is our school teacher, and it teaches us what God wants us to be in our lives after we get saved. And I just wrote down a few. I could preach on so many things, but again, what I'm preaching on tonight and what I want to get across tonight is just a little bit on worshiping God. Just a little bit on worshiping God. Now, you could preach a series on that for 2 or 3 years on worshiping God and all the things that are in the Bible. But there's some things that need to happen after we get saved. Salvation is just the beginning. Salvation is just the first step to knowing God and getting close to God and acquiring your eternal salvation in heaven. But after that, there's some things that need to take place. One, you need to get baptized. Amen. Number two, you need to learn to pray. Amen? What do you mean, learn to pray? You mean you just don't instantly know how to pray when you get saved? No, I didn't. Amen? I didn't have any idea how to talk to God when I got saved. I say, hey, it's me down here doing the best I can. And, you know, we learn to pray. Even the disciples asked Jesus Christ, will you teach us to pray? Amen? And we can look in the Word of God and learn how to pray and the things that we ought to pray for. Not only that, but we need to find out what God's will is for our life. You know, people don't understand this, but after you get saved and you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, God actually has something for you to do. Right? I know we did this, Independent Baptist did this, and the Southern Baptist did this. One of the worst things we ever did was put padding on these pews. Amen? I mean, that is absolutely one of the worst things we ever did. Now you can even go to the movie theater and have church where you can recline back in your chair with your easy arms and all that. You know what happens when you get comfortable on that pew bench? You ain't going to do nothing for God. Amen? I mean, the more comfortable you get there, the less you're going to do out there. Amen? And I tell you, one of the worst things we did was ever put padding on those seats. I remember when I was in Haiti over there, one of the roughest things to do is to sit on an old plank that's not been milled down or anything. It's been cut with an axe. And you sit on that thing upon hours, especially at the weight that I am, amen. And that becomes very sore. You don't want to stay comfortable there nor sitting there. But one of the things that we have to understand after we get saved is that God actually has something for you to do, amen. I'll touch on that in a little bit more. But what I want to get to is, and we find out what the will of God for our life is, but one of the other things is we need to learn how to worship God. I think that's what's missing today, amen, in our church services. I mean, I feel obligations. Sometimes I have people ask me, Brother Ron, will you come visit my church? Brother Ron, will you come see my church? And, you know, I can't just say, no, I ain't coming to see your church. No, you know, I feel obligated. I'm sure pastors had those times too. Got friends that say, hey, I'm really excited. I want you to come to my church and all that. And I went to one just the other Sunday and took my family in there. And we went to one that I had to promise that I would come visit. I've been promising them for a year that I would come visit their church. And I came in and I sat down in their church and I was all excited about worshiping the Lord. And I was all excited about all these different things. And we sat there and the singing started and it got worse and it got worse. And it got worse. You know why? Because me and my wife were the only ones excited about being there. The people that even was belonged to the church wasn't even excited about being there. I'm telling you, we have left worship out of our worship services. And I'm just going to, you're not going to like none of this, and it's okay. I didn't come here tonight for popularity or any of that kind of stuff. Y'all say you like my preaching, you may change your mind after tonight, amen? But I'm telling you, here's what we've gotten down to. We know what church is all about, and it's not hard to learn the mechanics of church, is it not? Everybody in here knows the mechanics of church. We knew what we were going to do this morning. We were going to go to Sunday school. Even these visitors that haven't even been coming that long, isn't it, Jeff? Brother Jeff, isn't that your name? He hadn't even been coming here that long. If I gave you a pen and piece of paper, could you tell me all the steps that we're going to do in church this evening or this morning? Pretty close, right? It's not hard to learn the mechanics of church. It's not learned. We come to Sunday school, and then after that, we come in here, and we have service, right? We all come to service, and we know that at 10 to 11, that somebody's going to call the choir up here. The choir's going to come up here, and they're going to sing a couple of songs. Then we're going to do what? Nope. She's been here longer than anybody. She don't know the mechanics. After we sing two songs, what are we going to do? Pray. Then what are we going to do? Then choir's going to sing a couple songs. Then Brother Chris is going to give announcements. Then we're going to do what? Shake hands, right? Then we're going to take what? Offering. And then we're going to do what? Nope. Have a special. Then what are we going to do? Then we're going to preach. Then we're going to sing another song. And then we're going to go home. What's left out of all that? Worship. See, we get so used to the mechanics of everything that we leave the worship out. We already know that we're going to sing two hymnals in the morning, so you know what your mind's already focusing on. Even if it's focusing on singing, period, amen. I'll get to that in a minute. But if we even are focused on singing, what we're focused on is singing two songs. We're not focused on what we're singing. We're focused on that we're going to sing this song. We're going to see if Brother Doug sings 1, 2, or verse 4, or if it's 1, 2, 3, and not verse... Right? You know what I'm saying? That's what we're concentrating on instead of the actual words that we're singing. We are leaving the worship out of our singing. We are not listening to what is being sung. Now, then we're going to sing our next song, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to listen to the choir sing. And by the time you listen to the choir sing, there's no telling what you're thinking about anymore. You know why? Because we've left the worship out. What we came here for to do. If you look in your bulletin, if you bought one this morning, look at what it says that happens at 10 to 11. 10:50, I think, in your bulletin says what? Sunday morning worship service, right? Amen. We come here to worship the Lord, and we often leave that out of what we are doing now. And what we miss is coming and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I come here, I love seeing Brother Chris. He's a dear friend of mine, and I love him. I love seeing Sister Tammy. I love seeing Brother Doug and all that. But you know who I come here to see? I come here to see the Lord. I come here to praise and worship God. I come here to leave all the garbage of this world outside those doors so I can come in here just for a little while and just praise my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I come in here to spend time with Him away from the world, away from the garbage of the world. Amen. But could you imagine, think about what worship service would be like if we left all of our little gods outside and came in and worshiped God? You say, where you get that from? Look at verse 1. David said, I will praise thee with my whole heart before the what? Gods, little gods, will I sing praise unto thee. I think all the time about the little gods in our life. People has had problems with gods in their life from the beginning. You understand that? If you think about Egypt and all the gods they served, I mean, they had so many gods, it was unbelievable. They have the moon god, a star god, and all these different gods there is, and all these different things. But I'm going to tell you the one God. I'm going to tell you the one God that has ruined our service. I'm going to tell you the one God that has ruined your praise and worship for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that one God has been doing it from the beginning of time until now, and it's not Satan. The most worshiped God is silver and gold. Amen. Amen. You know the Bible speaks. You look, go, if you got, you all y'all got them stupid phones, I mean smartphones, go look at them things. Go get you a good Bible dictionary or something, whatever it's called, I don't know, I got the big old book that you flip through, the Strong's. But you go get one of them things and you put in silver and gold and see how many times it comes up in the Bible. Then you read what goes along with silver and gold in the Bible, amen. It comes with worship and it comes with all that stuff that people throughout time has worshipped silver and gold. They have a problem with that. You understand what silver and gold does when we serve that as a god? Wars have been fought over it. People have been sold for it. Amen. Many lives murdered over it. And not only that, but parents have sold children for it. But the saddest thing about silver and gold is God the Father has taken second place to it to most Christians' lives today. Amen? I mean, you know how many how hard it is to come in here and worship the Lord Jesus Christ when the only thing that's on your mind is what the things are out there? Bills to pay, cars to get, houses to get, all that stuff. You know what all that is? Silver and gold. When I tell you what we ought to come in here and do is worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I think about that all the time. And now, here's the saddest part. Preacher knows this. We've seen some bulletins of it and all that. Is now we even have churches that can't worship God anymore because of silver and gold. They got church payments so big that they can't even see the light of tomorrow. They've got payrolls so large that they can't focus on anything else except what's going to come in an offering. Amen. There's a church up in Murfreesboro. I went in there about 2 years ago. I was up there. I had to be up in there, and I seen this church. And I said, my goodness, look at the size of that thing. I mean, it had every fancy thing under the sun. And I'm talking about football fields from one end to the other, how big this place was. And I told my wife, I said, I got to go in there. I seen cars everywhere. I didn't know if they was having a funeral or wedding. I didn't know what was going on. I said, but I got to go in there. I got to check that place out. She said, what are you going to say when you go in there? I said, you think a church that size know whether I'm a member or not? They don't know. I pulled around there. I got out, walked right into that church. I went into that big auditorium, big four-year thing. And I mean, it was gigantuous. They had all these things where the praise and worship's going to be here. And the rock and roll band was in this building and all these different things and all that. And I said, wow, this place is huge. I couldn't believe how big that was. And I went over there, and you know me, I had to find their little financial report, amen? So I went in there, and I found one of those things, and it was in the open. I didn't do no digging, amen? And I picked it up, and I looked at it, and I wanted to know what the offering was. And it says that the required offering for that Sunday, was $29,000 a week that they needed to keep that church going. $29,000. And then it showed what the offering was, and some of it was, I don't remember that day, but it was above $29,000, what they had brought in for that service and all that. But then I got to thinking to myself, what are they here worshiping? Are they here worshiping God, or are they here worshiping silver and gold? I don't know about you, preacher, if God put that on us that we had something like that, praise God for it, but I don't see it, brother. I don't see things like that because I tell you, your mind gets off of worshiping God and on the things of the money, amen. And I've seen so many churches go downhill because of that. Can't even enjoy the worship because of the fret about money. I believe we've gotten to a point in America where we're more worried about our little gods than we are worshiping God. Amen. We are. Matthew 6:33. People don't like this verse. Preacher uses it a lot. I use it a lot when people come talk to me. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, we don't have to seek the things outside these doors. We don't have to seek silver and gold. We don't have to worry about that part in our lives. We don't have to worry about finding food. We don't have to worry about finding clothes. The Bible says, I read this out of the Bible, amen, the New Testament, if some of you, the Bible, Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what I don't understand? Why are we beating our heads up against the wall worrying about all these different things in our life? If we would just seek God and worship Him and praise Him and do the things God has us to do, my Bible says that He will provide all of our... Amen? Amen. That's what it... Is that not what it says? It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Think about worship in the... Think about the worship we could have if we lifted up God instead of spending our time praying for our little gods. I'll tell you, God convicted me about all this stuff. If all of y'all are straight up good, praise the Lord, shout it out. I'm preaching to myself, amen. I thought about this the other day, and I was studying, and God said, hey, you know what? What about your prayer time? What about the time you spend in worship when you pray to me? Amen. You know, one of the first things it says in that, when the disciples said, teach us how to pray, he says, hallowed be thy name. Praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praising God for everything that He has done. Praising Him and lifting Him up instead of praying for all of our little gods. More time is spent praying for jobs and bills and health instead of lost people and what we can do for God. Do you know that? It is. If you take up prayer requests, I'm telling you, when we take up prayer requests, and I don't want nobody to stop giving us prayer requests, amen. We're here to pray for all those things. But I want you to think about something. We're more concerned about a job, we're more concerned about bills, and we're more concerned about our health than we are what God wants us to do. When we go to prayer with God and we can spend some time with God, I remember before I got so caught up in my mind, I would just sit there. When I first got saved, I would pray, and I read a book on how to pray for an hour. And I thought to myself, how in the world could a person pray for an hour? That is a long time. You know what I've learned? That's a very short period of time. An hour goes by very fast. I'm going to tell you, Brother Doug, you can get on your knees before God and you can get rid of all the distractions of the world and you can start focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ and you can start focusing on how He's your Father and how He knows everything about you and how great He is and the fact that He's coming again and all that stuff. And you can pray just about that stuff for an hour with no problem. You can sit down and just tell God how great He is for more than an hour with no problem. Amen. That's the truth. I mean, if you just really got all of your priorities out of the way, amen, and just focused on God, you could talk to Him for an hour with no problem. You know, my kids, they like to get up in my lap sometimes. You know, when they get up in my lap at night, we sit there, they get up in my lap, and you know what they want? They just want to talk to Daddy. They ain't worried about all this other stuff in the world. They ain't worried about whether Daddy's going to take care of them. They're not worried about whether Daddy's going to put them to bed that night. They're not worried about any of that stuff. They just want to talk to Daddy. They just ramble on, just talk. We just talk. Hug your neck, all that. You don't think our Father in Heaven's any different than that? Just like to hear from His children every now and then?
Yeah. Amen.
I'm telling you, God convicted me of this myself because we get so tied up and we get so stressed out and we get so worked up all the time that part of prayer is part of worship, amen? It is. Prayer is part of worship, and when we come to Him, spend some time just worshiping Him instead of saying, Lord, please take care of my shop. Lord, please take care of this. Lord, please help my Sunday school class. Lord, please help all these different things in life. Lord, please help so-and-so down there with cancer. Lord, please. Hey, you don't think the Lord knows all about that stuff? You know what the Lord like to hear every now and then? Lord, I love you. Lord, You're the greatest thing in my life. Lord, I just want to praise You. Lord, I just want to fall down before You and just thank You for saving my soul. Lord, I just want to thank You for dying on the cross for me. Lord, I just want to thank You that Your blood is a perfect blood that was shed for me. Lord, I just want to thank You for just picking me up out of the miry clay. Lord, I just want to praise You for a little while. You know that's missing out of our prayer today. Our prayers are quick, fast, and to the point. Amen. Lord, it's me. I need this. I need that. Would You take care of this? Would You help that person and all that? Just think if we spent some time praising the Lord in our prayers, how different our prayer life would be. Amen. What if we spent a little more time praying for those that are lost and dying and going to hell instead of worrying about how the bill's going to get paid this week? Amen. I know you wouldn't like this, but it's the truth. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. Talk to God, pray to Him about the things, how great He is, and seek the kingdom of God. You know the Bible tells us this, in praying about the will of God. I told you I'd get around to that. I know you hear these verses all the time, but I'm going to read it again. Sometimes it don't sink in, amen, because some of you are still bench warmers, amen. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And listen, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, you know what you got to do? You got to pray to God. about more stuff than your job and your bills and all that stuff and pray to Him and say, look, Lord, instead of all those things I want in my life, how about You telling me what You want out of my life? Amen. I heard a song coming to church I haven't heard in a long time. And we had this fellow that's been called to preach and stuff. He used to sing it at my old church all the time. And it was, I think it's called Uncommon Garments is the name of the song. Many groups have sing it, but he's talking about how that the Roman soldiers bet for that garment that was wrapped around Jesus Christ for His garments and all that, and how that was just an uncommon garment. But that uncommon garment, when it was wrapped around Jesus Christ, the Bible says when that lady with the issue of blood come and just touched the hem of that garment, the Bible says it healed her, amen. And God can take that uncommon garment and do something great with it, amen. And God can take a uncommon people, amen, and do some miraculous things with uncommon people, amen. I tell you, we look around here tonight, and you looking back at me, we some uncommon people, amen. I mean, some of us don't fit the mold, amen. Some of us got problems. Some of us too fat. Some of us too skinny. Some of us too bald-headed, amen. Some of us are too all kinds of stuff, amen. But I'm going to tell you, you put your hands in the hands of God, and you pray, and you ask God, God, will You do something with my life? God can take that uncommon person you are and do something miraculous with it, amen. I tell you, one of the greatest things, Sister Tammy, that God ever allowed me to do after I got saved was to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ and lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no nothing about me, no merit about me, no goodness about me, no anything about me to look at my past and everything else. And God said, hey, I want to take you and let you bring people to me. Amen. Oh, my goodness. What a privilege that is that God would take some uncommon, ugly thing and make it beautiful in His sight and use it to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, well, that's just you. No, that's everybody in here that's ever been saved. That's anybody in here that knows the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. God, you're an uncommon thing that God has made beautiful. Amen. I think about those kids and I pray for them in the prayer room and all that stuff. How God takes these messed up kids. Amen. And I was one of them messed up kids. Come from a messed up home. Just messed up. I mean, you and I look at them and go, my goodness, everything about them's messed up. The way they dress, the way they talk, the way they act, everything is messed up. And then about 10 years later, you find them in the pulpit somewhere. Or 10 years later, you find them on the mission field leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because God can take that messed up mess and do something with it. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, like I said there just a minute ago, He says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm telling you, instead of praying for our little gods out there, worrying about the little gods in our life, we ought to be spending time praying about what God wants out of our life. I want you to think about somebody else who learned how to worship this tonight. Job chapter 1. Just flip your Bible over there real quick. I'll not read the whole chapter. I'll be quick here. But Job had learned how to worship the Lord. You know that Job was a very blessed man. Job chapter 1 verse 1. I'm just going to read some verses and then go on. Some of you that may not know this story, study it. Amen. But Job chapter 1 verse 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Amen. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now I know in 2015 y'all think that's a plague, amen. But back then that was a blessing, amen, to have that many kids. 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance, listen to what he had. His substance also was 7,000 sheep. And 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all, the men of the East. Wow, what a man. I mean, he's like Bill Gates, amen? Except Bill Gates don't know Jesus, amen? That's the difference between Job and Bill Gates and all that. Job did not worship silver and gold. Job worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. Job worshiped God, amen. If we read on down through there, I ain't got time to read all that, but they had a talk with the Lord, and Satan had a talk, and Satan said, hey, I can't touch Job and all that. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to remove the hedge around him so that you can touch him. You can do anything you want, but don't kill him. Everybody with me on that? Now look in verse 14. It says, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the sabines fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Listen to these next few verses. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep, the servants, and consumed them, and I only escaped. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away. And then verse 18, and while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped to tell thee. Then look in verse 20. Most of us would have fell apart by then. You know why we would have fell apart? Because we said, there went all my silver and gold. There went all my possessions. There went my new car. There went my three-bedroom house. There went all that. Oh, and now my kids are gone. Put them in their last. Amen. All my stuff is gone. Why don't you look at what Job did? Job worshiped God. He didn't worship the things that he had.
Amen.
In verse 20 it says, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. I'm telling you, when your life falls apart, if all you've got in your life that's keeping you happy and the only thing that's keeping you going is the things that's sitting in this parking lot or the things that's over your head when you go home or the things that's on your back or the things that are keeping you happy, you have missed it. Amen?
Amen.
Job had learned how to worship God, and I think we need to get back to learning how to worship God. He says in verse 21, and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. And then he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Wouldn't it be nice to have that kind of attitude?
Yeah.
I want that kind of attitude. I can't say that I completely have that attitude tonight, but I want it. I want that kind of attitude. You know, one of the things that we have to look at it in real perspective, Pastor, and that's when I was in Haiti. You know, those people come to worship the Lord. They come to worship the Lord. There's no padded pews. There's no air conditioning. There's none of these different things and all that. And there's nothing waiting on them when they get done. But when they come to worship the Lord, they come to worship the Lord. I'm telling you, I miss those services so much. I miss seeing those faces when they come in. I sat there, Brother Doug, I can't lie, I've sat there before in my seat. I've sat in one of the Baptist churches over there, and I sat on the back row, and I just observed everything. I just watched everything that took place. And over there in Haiti, before the church would start, they would come in, the choir would come in, and they would come in the back door, front door, whatever you want to call it, and everybody's sitting there. Of course, it don't look like this. It's a shack type thing, but we're all sitting there. And I turn around, and knowing that we are in the worst, poorest country in the world, the most poverty there is. They don't live in, most of them don't have houses or any of that kind of stuff. No running water, no electricity, any of that kind of stuff. And they sit there and turn around and look at their faces, and they are smiling from ear to ear. They are so happy to be in the house of God. And some of them have on tattered dresses, and some of them have on tattered clothes, the best that they possibly have. And they had a little thing over there. They'd come in the doors like this, and they just have that little walk, and they're singing praises to God, and they're just walking down through there, a hundred of them coming down the aisle to sing in the choir, to sing praises to God. Not because of their Bentley sitting out in the parking lot, not because of their Lexus sitting out there, not because of their three-bedroom house, just because He's God. And they are worshiping Him coming in. I'm telling you, we have lost the focus on worshiping God here in America. If we would quit worshiping our little gods and get back to just worshiping the God, amen. God the Father, just think what a difference our lives would be, amen. Oh, I'm telling you, if we could just get back to that somehow, how great God is. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 14, it says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, 'Be ye holy, for I am holy.' And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Listen in verse 18. "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you," amen, "manifested for you, whom by whom do you believe in God, that raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, not in silver and gold." I believe there's going to be a day before I'm dead and before preacher's dead. I believe there's going to be a day in America. I'm not here to preach doom and gloom. I'm trying to lift you up and encourage you a little bit. But I do believe there's a day coming in America before me and him pass away that you better learn how to worship God. And you better learn how to worship God without your car. And you better learn how to worship God without your house. And you better learn how to worship God without your jewelry and your guns and all that stuff. There's going to come a day when you better learn how to worship God because He's God. Just think about those Christians that were taken by ISIS. 22 men, something like that, that were Christians. And they killed them. There's one they burned in a cage. All that stuff. And they specifically took those Christian men. The news made it a point to put out that they were Christian men that they took and killed. You know what them men better learn how to do? Worship God. Because it was time for the rubber to meet the road. You know what I want in here tonight? For us to learn how to worship God before those days come. You know what I want? I want Roman, when he comes to the house of God, to think that's the greatest place to go on Sunday morning. Amen. I do. I want my kids to think that church is the greatest thing in the world. I want to think that the singing they hear in the choir is the best singing they ever heard. There's a lot of competition out there to steal our kids. Amen. There's a lot of entertainment out there to steal our kids. Right now, they got my oldest. They got him. World's got him. You know what he thinks all this is? Boring. Y'all crazy. Why would I sit here? Why would I come in here? Y'all ain't having fun. Why would I have fun? Amen. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to be serious for a minute. If I'm lying, just tell me. But I'm telling you, these kids today, when they come in the house of God and they see us dried up on the pew bench and they see us with our hands crossed going, "Man, all this," why do you think they want to be here? Why would want them to make them be here? I'm telling you, I want Roman to think church is the greatest place in the world. If I act a little silly during a song, that's fine, ain't it? Huh? Why? Because we can have fun in the house of God, can we not? Because it's all about Him. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about God. And that's what I'm here for. That's what we come here for, is to worship Him because of what He's done for us. And have fun doing that, right? Mm-hmm. Teach them. Anyway, in closing, can I just ask you tonight, where are we at? Where are you at tonight? One of the greatest things in life is to worship God. When I get stressed out at work, the greatest thing I can do is go outside. I got a cemetery behind my shop. I do. There's a cemetery back there. If them mechanics of mine don't straighten up, they're going to be buried in there. But anyway, I have a cemetery behind my shop where I live. And I'll tell you, sometimes when I get so frustrated, I go out there to worship God.
I go out there to talk to Him away from all the mess in the world. You know, all the people in the Bible learned that. People in the Bible learned to worship Him. They sang before Him. They lifted their hands to Him. They bowed their head to Him. They danced before Him. And they played instruments before Him. They did all these things worshiping God. I don't find too many places in the Bible. Matter of fact, if you can show me one, that'd be great. Matter of fact, I'd just like to see a picture of it. I don't see too many or heard or read too many places in the Bible where they sat there like this and worshiped God. I just don't find it. I sure can't find it in heaven when you read about Revelation. There sure ain't people sitting around like this. You know what I want to know tonight? Is church just a spectator sport for you? Or did you come to worship the Lord? Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this night.